Welcome to Big Game Hunger, a show where me and a guest craft the big next game every episode. We'll be taking three random ingredients and blending them into one incredible game. I'm Jenna Stieber, and I crave content. And I'm joined by Jacob Burgess. Jacob, who are you, and what do you have a hunger for?
Well, hi. My name is Jacob Burgess. I am a games writer and a voice actor. I also do different freelance work in the games industry, and I work with an online comedy network, very Canadian, very lovely, full of wonderful comedians called Loading Ready Run. And I have a hunger for usually hamburgers and lore. Not together a lot of time. Well, maybe someday, you know, sitting down with a burger and like watching a good YouTube lore video sounds good.
You don't like burger lore? You're not like researching McDonald's and like who was Wendy, etc.?
So that's also a thing that I have been known to do. What I really like is like discovering headcanon of like the mascots. Like a lot of people anthropomorphized the mascots and like created lore and like headcanon around like the like fast food cinematic universe. Running across that on the internet sometimes is always a treat. Some people have done some amazing webcomics and art around that.
When I was at ECCC recently, I was on the lookout for any horny 18 plus sex art, because that's what I was just curious, by which I mean I was buying a lot of sex art.
Yeah.
But I did find there wasn't lots, which was a huge disappointment to me personally. Everybody has let me down. But I did find among the offerings, I found a horny fast food gangbang comic. I did not purchase it. And I don't regret not purchasing it, but I just wanted everybody who could hear the sound of my voice to know that existed. I could have.
I regret you not purchasing it.
If I see it again, I'll get it and I'll send it to you because it seems like an artifact for your collection that might be interesting.
I appreciate that. I mean, I generally, I try to be like as aesthetic and minimalist as possible, but I'd hold on to that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially if you sent it as a gift, like how could I? How could I get
never
rid of
throw it,
really? It
away?
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was really more in the market for really earnest, horny art.
Oh yeah,
and it's hard to parse the Burger King and Wendy's having sex as being an earnest expression of sexual human sexuality. So I didn't engage with it.
Oh man, do you know why Wendy's burgers are square?
No,
they don't cut corners.
Is that yeah, you know what? I don't want to know if that's real because that was really good.
Thank you.
What kind of games do you play, Jacob?
Oh boy. So normally, like a lot of RPGs, visual novels, tower defense is one of my favorite genres of games. If I'm going to sit down and like spend time with the game, it's usually going to be an RPG or something with a, like something with good story. If I can customize a character, I'm pretty much there.
Love that.
I do have to say recently I have been playing, Final Fantasy 14, huge for me.
Yeah.
But recently I've been playing a ton of Helldivers 2.
Of course, yes.
The environmental storytelling and its capacity for emergent narrative and its ability to environmentally storytell and actually be like an immersive experience is second to fucking none. It is so good. It is so good. It is so good. It, like I like a shooter sometimes, like Halo, but I don't play competitively, and it's so great. It's so great. I could espouse the wonders of Helldivers 2 for a very long time, even from a narrative perspective. Like, so good. It's delicious.
I have so many follow-up questions because it became immediately clear when you started describing it that I am having a much different experience with Helldivers 2 than you
really?
Are.
Really?
A good experience.
Mm-hmm.
A great experience even. It's a very fun game. Lots of great gameplay. Mm-hmm. Like smushing bugs.
Yep.
And busting up Terminator-ass robots.
Yep.
But I have not been paying any attention to the environment or the stellar storytelling therein.
And that's part of what I love so much about it. Because they're just like, it's here for you perverts if you want it.
You lore perverts.
You lore perverts. But Like it's also just like the way also the, just the way people don't it's so well done because it feels so stupid. It's so extreme in its like you are no doubt the bad guys like and the way that they couch everything, the way that they present the game to you gives you permission to do so many things in the game that for other games would definitely tilt somebody because like when you team kill here. It makes sense. It's not something you do intentionally, but it will happen on accident. And that's part of the fun and part of the enjoyment. But that wouldn't exist if they didn't couch it in this over-the-top fascist sort of regime. Like, the narrative supports the game and the gameplay so freaking well that it helped to create the culture of it. Final Fantasy XIV did this as well, and that's part of what I love so much about it, because even looking behind the curtain, it's like, I see what you did there, and it's fucking amazing. Like, oh, it's so good. It's so good. If you do get a moment and somebody doesn't blow it up, go and look at, if you are on a mission with a like a pirate broadcast tower, those are the towers that actually give you like true information about what's happening in the world. But almost everybody just blows them up immediately. But there's like a ticker tape that's just like, you know, like Super Earth seeded the Terminids and like gives you information and stuff like that. Like it's Helldivers 2 is a masterclass in game design.
I was really surprised when I first got into the game, the Starship Trooper of it all.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to another Jacob and playing the game, and we were talking about how whether or not the game it can ever conclude in such a way that undermines the fascist, the really interesting Starship Trooper fascist vibe to it, because it is a very self-aware and sardonic kind of fascism. Mm-hmm. But how do you make a game that culminates in a way that undermines that point without just rewarding all the players for engaging proactively in fascism? We don't have to answer that today because that's impossible. Mm-hmm. The other thing that you reminded me of was that a couple of weeks ago, I saw on social media people once again relitigating whether or not Starship Trooper was a satire. And I was like, why is this happening again?
Why is this even happening again?
What's the point? But then I opened the game and I was like, oh, it's because this is doing a Starship Trooper thing. I understand now.
It signals the fascist couched in humor. Like, it's so over the top as to be funny. Whereas a property like, for example, Warhammer, that takes itself very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. The fascism, it is a parody of fascism, but it's not always presented in a way where it's obvious. Whereas with Starship Troopers, like the original one and even the movie, like Helldivers 2 goes way harder than even the Starship Troopers movie did. And the book, I don't know if you've ever read the Starship Troopers book, that goes pretty hard on the fascism, but it's deeply weird. Like,
is that Heinlein?
Heinlein, yeah, I believe Heinlein. So. Okay. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I think it's Heinlein. It's one of those words I've only ever read, so I'm like,
Yeah. Are you ready to go to our ingredient list and pull three words to make a game out of?
I don't think I've ever been readier.
Whoa. Okay. That's the kind of can-do attitude we need in this democracy. All right. I'm going to roll my little dice. Now is the moment where I ask if you want to activate the Grant Howitt Dagger Dartboard, where I take one of the prompts that we have gotten, which I have seen and you have not, and I replace it with one of the, I would say, slightly more difficult, slightly crazier Grant Howitt options that Grant Howitt gave me when he came on the show.
I like Grant Howitt very much. Yeah. So let's do it.
Okay, I'm going to flip a coin. Call it heads or tails. If you call it right, we will swap out a Grant Howitt Dagger Dartboard option.
Let's call heads.
I'm flipping tails. Not this time. All right, our prompts are, the adjective is musical. That comes from a former guest, Jeff Moonen. Thank you, Jeff. Musical. The premise is a game within a game. And the type of gameplay, and this is what's going to make it really difficult, comes from another former guest, Giovanni Colantonio, and it is Twin Stick Shooter.
Okay. I got a couple, like...
What's your first emotional or mental impulse when you get this list?
So, I understand, like, when... So, my first impulse when I heard musical wasn't a musical game, but was a musical, like set, like the setting is a musical theater, like an actual performance. Because I'm a huge theater nerd. I have a.
I know, crazy, right?
Me,
Jacob.
I know.
Theater kid.
I never talk about it, and you definitely can't tell within 5 minutes of meeting me. So I instantly thought like musical theater as a setting, like like an actual setting. A game within a game would be. Possibly the musical theater is the rhythm game, but that's not necessarily the game that you're playing. The rhythm game is happening, and how well it happens, you are the stage manager doing the cues.
Okay.
So it's a rhythm game within a rhythm game, because you've got, you're not hitting the cues according to the music that is happening. Okay. You are hitting the cues according to the book that you have. So you still have to listen to the music and then resist actually hitting everything in time to the music. You have to hit the cues. So when you hear this bar or hear this line, you have to hit the next lighting cue. You have to physically say, so kind of like a Five Nights at Freddy's while you're while you're fighting. You're trying to resist the actual rhythm game that is happening that you can still see and hear on screen.
This is like an ADHD punisher. Like, this is like
I have huge ADHD. I would be terrible at this game. But how do you incorporate the twin stick shooter into it? Oh,
well, let me double. Wait, did you have an idea?
I do.
Okay, go for it.
This. So when I do narrative, like when I do narrative stuff, like when I do narrative consulting or anything like that, this is literally, or when I help anybody with their like tabletop game or anything like that, this is literally my favorite thing, is being given like three disparate concepts and then having to gel them together. Literally my favorite thing. It lights my brain up.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to Big Game Hunger,
this
Jacob.
Is
thank you for
so
being
good
here.
I'm so thrilled to be here. So twin stick shooter, if it has to be with a game within a game, so it can either be you can only input, you don't use anything else except two sticks to input everything to call the cues. So, because usually for when you're a stage manager, you're like lighting cue one, go, lighting cue two, go, lighting cue three. So you've got to prompt the cue and then call when it's supposed to happen so that, you know, everybody that you're in charge of knows when to hit the button because all they're doing is listening to you. So that can be done through the sticks. That can be done through the sticks. Oh, okay. I got a couple of other ideas. What do you have? What do you got?
So I love the heat that you're putting down. I love the idea. The musical setting, I think we should lock that in. That's great.
Musical
we
theater.
Can abandon that later. But I like the idea of a musical theater setting. Like, I'm thinking like high school, because that's when I think a lot of people do musical theater. Oh, and 100%. I think that is ripe as a setting.
Ooh. That would be excellent as a setting. And I think something that, like, if we were actually going to market this game, would go towards an audience. But what do you think of, like, a community black box theater and just make it a tire fire?
I think you get high drama stakes in both of those settings. But I think the adult drama of community musical theater, of which I've seen so much, is a lot funnier. And I think a lot broader. I think there is a lot more options there. Because once you get into adults doing community theater and still having drama, that's when things get fucking crazy.
Oh my God.
That's when, like, money starts going missing and, like, I don't know, people getting into fist fights and stuff. I love that.
And you hear lines like, Martha, this is why we can't have bagels at concession anymore. Like, no other context. Just what the fuck happened there? Yeah.
I also love that, because what you've described from the stage manager standpoint is almost like a Super Mario level generator game, which is like where like the gamified angle of gamifying making a level design, which is not the same as like actual game development level design, but which is like a fun graphic interface version of making a level for level design.
Yeah.
I love the idea of a game like that where you have to put together, like you have to compose the list So I'm thinking it's not a rhythm game. It is a game where you are like sitting down and figuring out what the cues are for other people to play the rhythm game of your call list as a stage manager. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. So mechanically, how do you feel that works?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Is because I like the idea of it being like a Mario level editor. Like, yeah. I like where you can make things to call, but like,
I think you should be able to choose. You go into the menu. There's a list of options for you to build on. And those options are like Aida. It's Evita. It's Cats. It's Phantom of the Opera. You just have a list of musicals and you have to choose one and then go through, I think, the entire script of Cats and put through the whole script. This is every session of this game. This is like a four day. Yep. It's many hours long. Yep. You have to sit down. You get the whole script for Cats. You have to compose the whole list, the whole production list of cues that has to be made.
Oh, this is I am immediately, because I've worked for like publishers before and done scouting and things like that. I'm imagining the audacity of this pitch deck and the money that a developer would be asking for to make this.
Well,
yeah, with like licensing fees.
It's going to be impossible to describe to Andrew Lloyd Webber what this licensing deal is.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
It's not Cats the musical, the video game. No. This is a musical game where we want to license Cats.
Oh, no. It's not. No, Cats isn't actually going to be mentioned at all in any of the...
Well, or we could do rip-off. When that inevitably falls through, we can do weird rip-offs where it's like Dogs, or it's Cats with a Z, and then we're like, hey, it's like the Cats video game, a video game I've mentioned on this podcast now, I think 8 or 9 times. And so we can always just do knockoffs. I want to circle back towards Twin Stick Shooter, because this one's difficult. Because that really implies a reflex-based game. So, I mean, I'm kind of imagining maybe if you've got two twin sticks, maybe one of them is for the different like musical production aspects. And one is like swapping sets. One is like lighting. One is like sound and that sort of thing. One is curtains. Uh-huh. And then the other thumb is like cue, go, cancel. I don't know. Like something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I like that. All right, so can I, before we get too deep down this one track, can I pitch another idea to
you?
Is that cool?
Yeah, okay. Let's go strolling through the woods, Jacob.
Let's wander a little bit. So going back to musical, like you know, sticking with the like adult community theater and everything. Yeah. So the game itself sets up. I want to keep the rhythm game aspect to it. So the game sets up and you think that it's going to be like a regular rhythm game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the rhythm game happens and it's like opening night. And then you actually like do the whole rhythm game and everything. Camera pans back to the crew back to the prop master and the lighting master and everything. And they start remembering what it was to get everything together for the show. And the game within the game is their flashback. So it becomes... Every level is like a Smash TV level where you're playing like the prop master having to go and like do all of these crazy wacky things to get all of the props for like the director and his vision, like capital H, capital V, where you have to like fight through thrift stores and things like that to find that one overcoat for this one character. So at the beginning of the game with the rhythm game, everything's kind of in shadow. So depending on what you do and how well you do in each stage, as each of these department heads to get these things, when it cuts back to this person's big scene, like, for example, like, well, I'll just say it's not a musical, but Malvolio and Twelfth Night. We're doing Twelfth Night the musical, and we're making it a musical. So when we get to Malvolio's scene, we actually see like the things you were able to get on Malvolio. And if anything's missing, he's got like a bare midriff or something like that. So it keeps cutting back and forth between the actual rhythm game of like the music and the drama of all that. And then like to everybody backstage or any of the crew having to get those, having to get like these things. And at the end, the big boss is the director and the crew, like, trying to get him to take everybody out to dinner for like a crew dinner or something. Because the director, after the show opens, typically checks out.
Okay. Community theater. So when you think about the structure of a game, you've got the levels that lead up to the bosses. And the levels are, in really well-designed games, sort of structured to prepare you for the boss fight at the end.
Right.
Whether it's mechanically or, you know, emotionally, or just like preparing you by making you better at the game. So that when you get to the boss fight, you are ready to defeat that boss all in one go. That is like the classic structure of video game levels and boss fights.
Yep.
What is theater rehearsal if not that exact same thing?
Ooh.
And in that case, what is the opening night except a boss fight?
Ooh. Oh, that's very good. That's very good.
Theater is like video games, and this is why. So I think you could have the... I like what you're saying about like having to go out and source all of these objects. I think that that can be a thing that accumulates in the opening night boss fight. Because there's a moment where I thought like, oh, is this the sort of thing where you were pitching where it's like the stage manager has to compose this list and then you play as the prop manager trying to remember what this list is, but you probably have your own list.
Oh, yeah,
This is my pitch. This is my pitch. Opening nights are just boss battles.
I like that. I like that. Opening night boss fight.
Ooh, well, I'm writing that down as a potential name. Yep. That's strong.
Yeah, that's really good. Prop managers have their own lists. It looks like the queue, and sometimes the stage manager is in charge of it, and sometimes they're not. I've experienced both.
I like the idea that there are different, that the different like levels of this game are you doing different roles at a community theater.
Yes.
So like one of them, you're playing the head seamstress who's in charge of costuming, and the other, you're the prop master who is mastering the props.
It would be really funny if like a lot of them were just the same person, because that happens a lot in community theater, just with like a different outfit and like weapon or skill set.
What if every character was just the same person in a different hat?
Just the same person in a different hat?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That would cut down on the amount of drama, because the upside of there being different characters for each of these is that you can be like, I left a bolt of white cloth that was supposed to be the angel's robes, and Prop Master took it and used it as a tablecloth.
Oh.
And it's like, fabric is my domain, even if it's a prop, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. You're right. Yeah. No, fun idea, but like we've got to, like, there's definitely more character interaction. Yeah, we got to
chase
the drama.
The drama, Jacob.
Gotta
chase the drama. Is this community theater? Mm-hmm, what is that if not drama?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's so fun to watch when you're not doing it.
Oh, it's the best. I stopped doing community theater a very long time ago because it takes a lot of time that I simply don't have.
And emotional energy. There's a reason I'm a voice actor now.
Not putting your body on the line.
Yes. It's the extra emotional labor that you're not getting paid for, having to talk somebody down off the ledge 30 minutes before curtain up because their cat wouldn't sit on their lap that morning. And that meant that they were unlovable. And what's the point of going on? Like, I'm good. I'm good not doing that anymore, which is literally a thing that has happened to me.
I believe it. It was way too specific to be a fake anecdote.
Yeah.
I hope you're enjoying Big Game Hunger, and heck, I think you'd really enjoy this other podcast in the Multitude Collective called Pale Blue Pod. Pale Blue Pod is an astronomy podcast for people who are overwhelmed by the universe, but still want to be its friend. Astrophysicist Dr. Moya McTeer and comedian Corinne Caputo demystify space one topic at a time, with open eyes, open arms, and open mouths. From laughing so much, and from the jaw dropping, and from chatting. By the end of each episode, the cosmos will feel a little less, too scary, and a lot more, so cool. New episodes of Pale Blue Pod release every Monday, so check it out wherever you get your podcasts. I know you've got a big game hunger, but what about a big game thirst? Are you familiar with Shaker and Spoon? They're a subscription cocktail service that helps you learn how to make handcrafted cocktails right at home. Every box of Shaker and Spoon comes with enough ingredients to make three different cocktail recipes developed by world-class mixologists. All you need to do is buy one bottle of that month's spirit, gin, vodka, etc., and you have all that you need to make 12 drinks at home. For just about $50 per month, plus the cost of the bottle, this is a super cost-effective way to enjoy craft cocktails, and you can skip or cancel boxes at any time. This is a perfect thing for going into the holidays when you're going to have people over and friends and family that maybe you want to impress with a classy nightcap. You can do that with a Shaker and Spoon box. So invite some friends over, class up your nightcaps, or be the best house guest of all time with your Shaker and Spoon box. And you can use a Big Game Hunger code to get $20 off your first box at shakerandspoon.com/BGH. That stands for Big Game Hunger. So how are we composing these levels? Like, we still got the twin stick shooter. It is possible, because when I think of twin stick shooter, I think of arcade games where you're managing the camera and the vehicle and you're like always shooting, kind of. That's kind of what I picture. But how is that going to function in something like this?
When I picture twin stick shooter, it's like left thumb controls the person moving around, right thumb is the direction you're shooting in.
Okay.
Like, so I usually picture like a top down. I just, weirdly enough, the original Helldivers, Helldivers 1 was a twin stick shooter. Hey, okay. Callbacks. oh boy, that's tough. Because there's a lot of different ways to structure that. So I keep getting stuck on the music. Because I want to say, like, levels are procedurally generated according to the music, or procedurally generated and, like, are affected by the music, kind of like Crypt of the Necrodancer.
You know, procedurally. Crypt of the Necrodancer. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So procedurally generated levels, but instead of, like, hopping beat to beat to beat to beat, you're just free roaming around, like, the area, but, like, maybe enemies come out on the different beats, or, like, if a certain thing happens in the song, then something is affected within the game.
Are the gameplay portions super surreal and the story portions very realistic?
Yes.
What you're describing is extremely abstract in a way that I'm kind of into. Okay.
Yeah, I think so, like the realistic, like, rhythm game versions of, like, you actually, like, playing through the rhythm game or visual novel aspect of the game, if you want, depending on how you want to structure it. That's where the high drama comes in, and like all of the stuff. Oh, it could be visual novel, depending on some of the answers you give, changes what happens in the level as somebody's recollecting.
Yeah.
Collecting. Yeah, why not? I do like the idea of, like, this is ultra realistic, and like the actual, like, community theater portions, and then the flashbacks are more abstract as somebody is envisioning their struggle.
I think they would have to be. Is what you're doing in the abstract portions gathering, if you're like the prop master, are you gathering the props that are going to be on the stage, or are you like implementing them? Because we could do, if we're doing fully abstract, we could have you shooting, like, you see some yellow stockings and you're like, oh, Marvel Leo needs those for the star-crossed garters.
I love that you know that.
I thought that's what you were going to reference.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going for. Yeah.
I was so ready to burn you for that being like the most iconic prop in theater. But I can't fault you. It's a big one.
I mean, I'm on a podcast. I don't want to be too obscure. Like,
yeah, no, you know. Yeah, no, that's fair. But is it like you are, you see those hover and you're like, that was on the list, so I'm going to shoot it. Is that how you're acquiring items? Or are we doing something like you're shooting things to like implement them? Maybe it's like you've got a lineup of I'm picturing this. Stick with me here. Mm-hmm. I'm imagining like when you go to a carnival, you're going to a carnival and you're playing one of those games where you're trying to shoot down like the things that are sticking up to win prizes. I'm imagining something like that, like a line of ducks. I'm imagining something like that, but it's all the props you have for the game. You have to like keep peeking out at the stage to see what's happening and then shooting down the thing that needs to be used in that moment. So when you see Marvolio enter, you're like, oh, he needs the letter to be reading from. Yeah. And then when he's reading and he gets to the part about the yellow stockings, you shoot out the yellow stockings so that he has those for the next scene, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Is that anything?
I think that's good, but I think that gets away from the twin stick shooter aspect.
Yeah. Maybe it's maybe you're in space hovering around the theater, because we don't need to be holden to any actual conception of what theaters look like.
Oh, that's...
I can't believe twin stick shooters is the most difficult. It is the most difficult part of so this, far yeah. on this show ever.
Can we take a hard left, or do you want to continue exploring this?
Left.
I don't want to.
Let's
okay,
go left.
Let's take a hard left.
I'm
okay.
hand in hand with you, Jacob. Lead me away.
So the other idea that I had was still game within a game. It's a rhythm game. Okay, like with all the drama, I want to hold on to that. It's a rhythm game with all the drama, like going through like the different songs and things like that on stage. You know, community theater, sort of rhythm gamey, or you know, like part rhythm game, part visual novel. Except the twin stick shooter part is under the stage, and like inside the smaller areas of like a group of mice trying to invade the concession stand. Is the other idea that I have, like while the show's going on, so it's kind of like a twin stick shooter, like heist game. So while the show is going on, that's them like trying to fight through on their way to the concession stand. They're using the musical as cover in order to do this heist. And as you're going, the mice are incentivized to make sure that the show goes smoothly. So they're fighting like cockroaches or like a group of raccoons or something like that, that like hate that this show is here and are trying to sabotage it, but they need the show to go well so that this heist happens. And the twin stick shooter part is under the stage while this is happening, and then the how well you do can affect the show and make the rhythm game parts harder or more difficult is the other idea that I had.
I love this pest angle.
So sorry, I'm giving you so many ideas. Like
this
like
is great.
Big
no,
ideas.
Jacob, this is all that we're doing here today. Is
okay,
just
great.
Coming up with ideas. You're crushing it. Thank I love. Here's what I love about this is that I love the idea of a bunch of rats being like, "Boys, we've got to make sure this show goes off without a hitch."
A hitch. Yep.
They're doing Les Mis. We know the exact moments when the guns go off in Les Mis. That's when we're pulling our biggest moment. It's like that part in Indiana Jones where he is like timing his hitting the marble floor with the moment the librarian is stamping the book.
Yes. Yep.
It
that's exactly
that.
It. Yep. Yep.
It's, that is that vibe where the mice or the rats, I think it should be rats.
I think it should be rats, yeah.
It's just an off Broadway in New York. Yeah. The rats, they need the show to go exactly on as it is set up and as it has been rehearsed because they know when all the cues are in order to pull off the biggest heist they've ever done on the concession stands.
And it is, it's an off Broadway. It's in New York City. It's rats. It's an off Broadway production. Being put on by a bunch of Gen Alphas, and it's called Les Riz. It's a parody of Les Mis, so that we can use songs that sound like it, but it's like set in a high school and like is all about trying to like date people or like, you know, put the Riz on people. That's
yeah. Okay. I love that. I love Les Riz.
Yeah. And that's also a, because I like layers and that's how my stupid brain works. Rizzo the rat is the
Les
rat
Rizzo.
From the, yeah. Yeah. So Les Riz. Yeah.
Rizzo's very relatable to me.
One of the best parts of A Muppet Christmas Carol, I think we can all agree.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. A vital flavor. Here's the question. Is this put on by adults? Because I think it's really funny if it's a high school style musical.
Oh, it's 100% put on by adults. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Okay, and then I think the gameplay portions of this are, they're the twin stick shooter, and I think it is like, I think this is happening all at once, where it's like, there are cockroaches you've got to shoot down.
Yep,
there,
absolutely.
There are like, there are the warring factions of the understage area.
Yep.
But I think there's also moments where it's like your lead comes on because they found a new gray hair in their beard and they're just like, I can't go on as a high school student. Look at me. And so like the rats have to shoot them. I don't know how the twin stick shooter aspect is implementing in the drama.
So I think it would have to be kind of like this like Rube Goldberg machine. So I don't think they're, I don't know if the rats are like, the rats can absolutely be shooting, but it can be this like big abstract thing. Like they go in to like put their head down on a desk or something and they've got the gray hair. Like as you go through the game, you've got to like shoot something that gets, that hits a piece of like, like a blush brush that then tumbles into one of those foam triangles that you use to put your makeup on in theater and things like that, hits a mascara thing, and then like hits, flips some nail clippers and the nail clippers like cut the hair or something
the
like that.
Off.
And then, and then they like get their attention or like write a mysterious note from like the phantom of the theater or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Or like they write a note. They have to like write a note at the end or something like that. So it's like getting through who's ever in like the lead's like makeup room or something like that. Like, I think maybe I'm talking too fast.
No. I like this. I'm gonna hone it.
Okay.
I'm honing it.
Let's do it.
Here's what it is. Each level is a different, it culminates in one of these sequences where there's a personnel issue at this community theater. There's a personnel issue. In order to get to that and to solve it, you have to be like fighting your way and navigating through like the green room area or like the locker room area or like the warehouse where they're keeping the props. So each level of this is you navigating that as a rat in the twin stick shooter. So you're physically navigating the space. You're trying to fight off all the cockroaches. It'll be a different enemy kind of each level. Depending on what it is. You're doing both of those things. And I think as you're navigating this level, you have to like find, you have to figure out what the issue is. So you have to make it to whoever personnel is melting down. Mm-hmm. You have to find them, figure out what the problem is, and then navigate through this area. So the levels are going to be a little bit open. It's not going to be open world, but the levels will be a little open. And you have to navigate to find the solution to whatever this emotional issue is with the personnel. So each level is a different personnel, different area, different issue.
Yeah.
And you're both fighting and trying to solve the problem.
I love that. And it can also be like while the show is happening too, like like the different issue with like they can't get the curtain to drop. Like they hear one of the backstage like stage hands be like, I can't, like the knot's too tight. Like we've got to go and find this thing to go and do that. But they run off and leave it unguarded. So it's like you've got to fight your way to this rope to then gnaw through it so that it like drops at the right time. To like while the show is happening, you're like, trying to fix all these problems. And
each level up, building up to the game, because obviously, as we've defined, it's open night boss fight is what opening night is, big boss fight. You spinning the levels up to that. There's like five levels. It's gonna be a smaller game. There's five levels. Each of those is a different navigating. You're getting used to those spaces. You're learning how to navigate them. You're learning where things are stored at. In the final boss fight / opening night, everything goes wrong. So you're going to have to like be going back to those spaces and retraversing them because it's going to be like the prop master is going to be like, oh my God, where's the flag for Les Riz that they hoist on the battlements? And you have to be like, oh, I've already traversed the warehouse. I know where it is. I've got to go and do this. And then you're once again battling your way through it all.
Ooh. Okay. So like a dress rehearsal is... So you kind of want like a Castlevania type, like you go through it once and then go through it again, like dress rehearsal. They want everything to happen smoothly during dress. So while dress is happening, they're actually running through what they might need to do. And then like you can either fight your way back. Ah, so the first night is to use the show to cover to get into the concession stand.
Yes.
And make sure everything runs smoothly so that, like, to stack your bonuses to make sure everything runs smoothly for the for dress rehearsal to, like, build their confidence and everything like that. And then you spend the day in the concession stand. Like, you know, you eat and things like that, so it's a reward. And then you have to fight your way back to rat home with some of your spoils for the next night. Because they haven't actually stocked concessions necessarily. That's just where craft services, which is Ethel brought a pie and some, whatever.
A pot of chili. Yep.
Exactly. Like a pot of chili and things like that. But when concessions is actually like open, so you're staged there, you've got to grab all the stuff and make it back as well. Now, here's the issue that I see with that. And I definitely want your help is that we would have to listen to the songs twice. Does that get boring?
No.
No?
No, because they're going to be bangers. Every single one is going to be a banger hit.
I got it. Okay.
Okay.
So on dress rehearsal, you make the sound, you make the songs intentionally sound bad.
Ooh.
So that when you're going through, you're like, oh, ha, 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 community theater. Oh, ha, 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 ha. And then on the way back, when you have to do the same levels again, you hear the same songs, except this time they are uplifted, elevated, and fucking on point.
Oh, because it's the, when you have the live audience, everything is different.
Different.
You get that live energy. Yes.
Yep. So we indicate that to the player that like it's dress because you don't have that energy. And even like the underlying tracks and like some of the lyrics could be different and whatnot. So you have like a bad version of the song, quote unquote. And then you have like the super polished banger version of the song that like can even have more instruments and things like that to give you that feeling and not to, to give that feeling of like, oh, ha ha, as you go there. And then as you come back, it's like, oh, I'm going to have to hear these tracks again. The fuck is this? Holy shit. And there'll be different songs mapped to different stages on the way back anyway, because you'll be going through the show in reverse, but you'll be going through the state. You'll be going through the show forwards, but you'll be going through the stages backwards.
The stages in reverse. Yeah.
So if you want to be really clever about it, especially if enemies are going to spawn according to the beats, the second half of the game is more difficult because that entire thing is the boss fight.
So you've got like the five base levels, and then you just do those in like normal levels. And then I think there is like a sudden roguelike section, and those are the dress rehearsal sections. And so those are going to be preparing you for your final boss run opening night, but they will not be exact. Because as you said, like they're going to be doing their best, but it's not going to be all the way there. It's still rehearsal. It's not perfect. You're also going to have like a lot of, the director's going to call cuts and be like, let's reblock this. So it's not going to be like full. It's not going to be the full experience. It's going to be a close replica. Mm-hmm. It won't be the same thing. Mm-hmm. But you can do that as many times as you want to get practice for all of those different sections. But when it comes time to do the final boss, you have to make that decision to be like, I'm doing the boss fight. It is time. I have practiced enough. You get to decide when the boss fight happens.
I love this. Yeah. I love this. Oh, because you don't even have to, if you want to use that structure, just have that be rehearsal. It doesn't have to be dress. It's you just call that rehearsal.
Yes.
And that will also give you replayability as well until you feel like you're ready for opening night. And then you have to do all five stages on the way back with different songs all at once.
Oof.
That's really good. I like this a lot. I genuinely like this.
I love a boss rush, period. I love a boss rush. I love to go back and re-experience cool boss fights, better and more powerful. You never see boss level rush. I don't know of a game. It feels like something that could exist, but I don't know of a game where you're just going through all of the levels again. And I love that.
I'm very much into like approachability for a game. I want everybody to be able to play all games if possible. Mm-hmm. So how do we make this a little more approachable? Because I can see, I think this idea is solid as fuck, especially if it's just like, hey, go through rehearsal. So do we have the boss rush be like a bonus thing for people that like really hard games? Like, how do we make that approachable for folks that just want to play a dumb musical twin stick shooter game with rats in it? You know, like that they're like, it's a visual novel, but it's a twin stick shooter. Actually, I think at this point, I think the twin stick shooter is the primary game and the game within a game is the theater shit.
Yeah.
Is the drama. So. Yeah, is the visual novel parts. So how do we make this more approachable?
I think there's something essentially accessible about the fact that you choose when you want to do the boss fight, because mm-hmm. then if you want to do the rehearsal two times and go for it, rip it and jack it, go for it.
Yeah.
If you want to practice 100 times, you can do that as well. So it's like, I think it's that's something that I think is essentially accessible. We could also, there could just be an option where you don't have to do the full rush. Right. Mm-hmm, if you wanted mm-hmm, to do, mm-hmm. I'm thinking about like, yeah, if you just wanted to do each level individually, I think that is a fine option that you should be able to do.
Mm.
So maybe it's like challenge mode is where you do the boss rush.
I think if we had like difficulty levels in it, I think that would be cool, because there are some games that are just like, you can't die.
And I love that
as an option, and I really, really enjoy that. So yeah. That even if it is punishingly hard, you could just eventually you will muscle your way through it. Especially if we have different like difficulty levels to manipulate player damage and things like that. Like
yes, infinite health.
I think that might be the way to go. Because people would want to practice it. We'd want to make the quote unquote main game like rehearsal time is. Yeah. The major part of the game, and you can have random events in there, modifiers.
Ooh, love that.
For example, wow, we're making a roguelite.
Just suddenly there at the end a little bit. Yeah.
Like anal retentive director. So there'll be more pauses in the game. Like there'll be times where
more do-overs and
More so like how that affects the game is when there's like the music will go and go and go, and you'll be like, okay, on this beat, this person spawns from here, this thing spawns from here. And then when it stops, everybody just kind of rushes you. Mm-hmm. Like there's no, they don't come out at a certain beat. They just kind of like flood out. What is it? Food on stage or food drop, something like that.
Oh.
Where like random food, like big person, like a human food, yeah. like appears.
I mean, obviously the culminating battle in Les Riz is a food fight, since it's a high school version of Les Miz.
It's gotta
yeah.
be. Yeah,
gotta,
there you go. Be. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Oh. Oh, that's so lovely.
Jacob?
Yeah.
What do we want to name this? Because you said two really good things, and one was opening night boss fight and the other was Les Riz. And I think either of those could be good titles.
So I think Les Riz has to be the title of the song in the game.
Okay.
Opening night boss fight is good. Huh. Black Box Squeater?
Squeaker? Let me write that down and see how that looks. Black box.
Squeaker?
Squeater?
Let's see.
Crazy.
Musical theater heist.
I know I should be helping you, but I'm really enjoying seeing you twist.
Rat business? No.
Rat business? Like show business?
Yeah, I'm spitballing here. They can't all be winners. that was a big stinker. Show business. Faux business, no business, grow business. No. There's no business like, yeah, there's, I'm trying to find good portmanteaus. Like,
I know. This is a fascinating insight into how your brain works. I feel like you're verbalizing a lot of things that I've only ever known to be happening in your brain and never seen evidence of.
Well, I'm trying to verbalize because I'm on a podcast.
And I really appreciate, appreciate that.
Big Apple, big, music show showdown. No, it's got a heist. Like,
You want the essential things in this. So it's rats, it's heist, it's theater.
It's heist.
We have to have something
concession.
About theater or musical in it,
yeah.
For sure. I think those are the most important things. Like it's rats, it's musical theater. We could call it rats! As a send off to cats, but I don't think that really communicates.
especially because we're going for like a Les Mis pastiche.
Yeah. Yeah, we're really mixing pastiches if we did that.
This is tough because like, I like opening night boss fight.
Why don't you like it enough?
I don't feel like it's clever enough, and it doesn't and it doesn't put forward it doesn't encapsulate the feeling of the game.
Okay. Okay. See, I was really pulled in by the fact that it rhymed.
Oh, opening night rat heist. It doesn't rhyme perfectly.
Opening night rat heist. Yeah, that is, it's almost too on the nose, but I think it's just off the nose enough.
Enough. Yeah, because it's not a perfect rhyme, but it's close enough. I forget what the exact term is.
Slant rhyme.
That's it. Thank you. I was like, there's a specific
rat slime. It's opening night rat heist, I think, is a really good
opening
title.
Opening night rat heist. Yeah. Oh, should it have a tagline because it's a musical? You know how some musicals have like,
yes,
you know, like Chicago,
Cats,
like
the musical.
Yeah, like Cats the Oh, actually, you know what? Yeah, opening night rat heist. Opening musical? Night rat heist. The musical.
I like that. I think that really puts it over the top of being fucking crazy. Yeah.
I don't know how this would work, but I'd like to flip it. So instead of opening night rat heist, the musical, because it's a game within a game, the musical opening night rat heist.
The musical. Is there punctuation in what you're pitching?
Oh, and yeah. The musical colon opening night rat heist, because that's typically like if it's Chicago, it's usually a colon. Chicago, the musical.
So the game is bananas? Called. Jacob.
Yeah, awesome.
The game is called The Musical.
The Musical.
Opening Night Rat Heist is the subtitle.
Opening Night Rat Heist. Yeah, it all has to be in the title. So coming at this from a marketing perspective, because I've done game marketing, I really think I think that's going to read really well. It'll draw the eye. It'll definitely draw attention. People will be like, what the fuck is this game? Yeah, yeah. It won't necessarily fit very well in a banner or a Steam you know, like a Steam logo or any of the capsules or anything, but yeah.
And the SEO on it is a fucking mess.
Oh, it's a nightmare. Are you kidding?
Which I think makes it a perfect big game hunger game.
Beautiful.
Jacob, do you have anything to plug?
Yeah, you can follow me on Mastodon, Jacob Burgess at con.social. Jacob Burgess at con.social. I think that's my... I should probably have come prepared with a little thing.
I'll Google you, if nothing else. I'll Google your Mastodon.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, you can check out, if you want to see more about what I do, you can check out my website at makewordshappen.com. And you can check me out on Loading Ready Run. Yeah, if you're into charities, check out Desert Bus for Hope in November, which is something else that I take part in.
You're wearing a very good Desert Bus for Hope shirt right now, and they don't get to see that, but I do. Big Game Hunger is a part of the Multitude Collective of podcasts created and hosted by Jenna Stieber. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and also spread the word so other people can enjoy it as well. To support the show directly, subscribe at patreon.com/thejenna. Every month, subscribers can submit prompts that get added to the ingredient list. Help guide the podcast and our brainstorming at patreon.com/thejenna. Jacob, what's one word, adjective, gameplay type, premise, etc. that you would like to add to the ingredient list?
Sloppy.
Okay. Why?
Because I want to do to somebody else what was done to me today.
We've accidentally made some sloppy games, so I think making a purposeful a game that is intentionally sloppy is going to be a surprisingly difficult.
And it can be interpreted a number of ways, and if it comes up, I would be very interested to see where people go with it.
It's going to come up eventually. All prompts will eventually be used. To the regret and detriment of people who'd come join me on the show.
Fantastic.
Thank you for joining me, Jacob.
It was my absolute, absolute pleasure, truly. This was, oh my God, so much fun.
Thank you, listener, for enjoying Big Game Hunger. And don't forget to wishlist the musical Opening Night Rat Heist on Steam. Release date, TBD.